I don't give God instructions. I just report for duty. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I don't give God instructions. I just report for duty. Are you ready to report for duty? What does it mean to report for duty? It means to have a program that is to your benefit that you are going to follow. Now, I think the biggest problem we have in reading such a thing, I don't give God instructions, I just report for duty. What is it that all of us would love to be able to do? We would love to be able to, at any moment, under any circumstance, listen to the divine within us. We'd love to be able to listen to what the divine, or as we would say, God in us, has to say. So, how wonderful it would be. I don't give God instructions, I just report for duty. How wonderful it would be if every morning we would wake up, we'd say, good morning, God, I'm reporting for duty. What's on the docket for today? Because you don't really know. And God would say, well, what's on the docket for today is to be yourself and have fun. Now, what else? That sounds good to me. Now, it doesn't matter what you do, but be yourself and have fun. That's what reporting for duty means, to be yourself and have fun. If you're going to dust the house, dust it so that the dust ends from where it starts to your rag, not into the atmosphere. You don't just go, whoosh, 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 whoosh. If you're going to do that, get our blower that we use to clean off the sidewalk and stuff like that, and put the blower all on the walls and the bricks and stuff, and then all the walls and bricks and everything will be perfectly clear. But where will the dust be? In the air. And what's going to happen when it all settles? It'll be back everywhere where it was before. Now, is that fun? Well, for a moment, but not really. So then you say, okay, I'll use a vacuum cleaner. And I'll go over everything with a vacuum cleaner with a little brush on the end, you know, and just go swoosh, 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 and pick everything up. And then the divine will say to you, my love, you're working too hard. And you'll say, why am I working too hard? Well, because if you like the exercise, that's good. But you live in a mental universe. And so you merely say, all is in divine order now, and every piece of dust, every fleck of dust, or whatever you want to call it, is where it belongs. Now, is it supposed to be all over your furniture and your fireplace and this and that? If that's where you think it's supposed to belong, if that's where you think it's natural for it to be, if you think that's where it should be, then that's where it is. But if you think not one speck of God's substance can be on another speck of God's substance where it's not wanted. So you say, our fireplace, it's always spotless. Our house is always spotless. Everything is always wonderful. And you speak your word. Now, you've been told this by all your teachers. All your teachers say, it is done unto you according to your belief. Speak your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. And speak your word, speak your word, speak your word. And so, I don't give God instructions, I just report for duty. Okay, God, I'll speak my word. The house is clean as the whistle. Everything is in perfect order. Everything is divine. And then you say, but it isn't. And the divine in you says, well, did you expect it would be? Well, I wanted it. Did you expect it? Did you know that its perfect way is to be in order? Now, why do you have furniture in your house that you don't really like, that doesn't really fit? Why do you have any piece of furniture in your house that's not perfectly designed for the house? Because you're willing to take something less than perfect in your life. And if you're willing to take something less than perfect in one area, you'll take it in another area. Now, when you are in the kitchen, Ingeborg, when you're in the kitchen, is every piece of fruit you touch perfect?
Yes, it is.
What do you do with any piece of fruit that's not perfect? Watch it, watch it, watch it. What do you do with any piece of fruit that's not perfect?
And that is all perfect.
I don't have any pieces of fruit that are not perfect. See, this is the point.
Yes.
This is the point. And you see, we're so used to having some imperfection in some of the fruits, we're going to cut it out. You don't have any imperfection in the fruit. Every piece of fruit you have is ideal. Every piece of veggie that you have is ideal. And all of the vitamins and minerals and other things that are in anything stay there and go into your body. Not that your body needs it, but it's there and it's not cooked out. It's not gone away. You see, that's all part of reporting for duty. Do you think that God would ever give you anything less than perfect? Do you think that God could have anything in its universe, in its experience, that's less than perfect? Impossible. Now, what kind of a God do you create? And if you create a half-assed God, well, then that's what you got. If you create a fabulous God, a God that is perfect, well, why does God have imperfect things in the world? God doesn't. You do. You step aside from your perfect nature and you play a game. And you play the game which is an illusion of something else. And it ain't necessarily so. You see? What is it that you really want? What is it you really want? You know, I told a story about the family and the limited budget, you know, and how they were living with a limited budget and how they were getting along just fine. And afterwards, some of the women came to me and said, "That can't be. I mean, nobody can live on a minimum income budget. Nobody." And I said, "My loves, more people on this earth live on a minimum budget and less than you'll ever know about. And they are living very nicely. They're not having all the things that the Joneses have. They don't have things like, they even have a television, you know. But they don't have a lot of things. But they do have proper food. Their mother makes sure that they get the food that's beneficial for them. They don't have all the special treats and all the special other goodies, which are not good for us anyhow, you know. They don't have all these rich cakes and these rich pies and these rich meringues and things like that. Now, what is a dessert? A dessert is something extra, something special at the end. Is it necessarily nutritious? Is it necessarily beneficial to the body? It's probably full of sugar and full of sweet juices and full of all that good stuff, you know, that we really don't need. And a lot of poor families, and I don't really want to call them poor families, a lot of families that live with a minimum of budget for food eat very proper foods for their body. And maybe they don't get enough of this or get enough of that, but think about it. Just you think about it. Here you take a beautiful piece of cake and you wolf it down with a cup of coffee and you wash it down and the cake goes rich, right straight on through, not leaving much of its sugar behind. And that's good anyhow. But it's to no benefit. Now, what do other families do? Families that have a low budget, they say, okay, everybody, drink 2 glasses of water before you sit down at the table. So they drink the 2 glasses of water, and the 2 glasses of water purify their trachea, purify their mouth, purify their being, going on through, and it doesn't last long in the tummy, it goes on through, you know. And so then every piece of food they eat and chew 20 times tastes wonderful. Tastes wonderful. Now, how in the living goodness could Swami Rama's master chew one speck of rice for a whole day just to be being part of his group as they were eating? And no more. Now, why did he torture himself by not eating? Why did he torture himself by sitting with them while they were eating? Why did he torture? He didn't torture himself. Perhaps the torture was eating that one grain of rice. He didn't need it. His goodness came from inside. Come here. Yes, sit. His goodness came from inside. His fulfillment came from inside. He didn't need anything in the outer. Nothing. And his body was just fine. It wasn't a fat body or a skinny body. It was just a fine body. And you see, perhaps we'll get to that at some point in our life where we realize that we don't need a great deal of food to nourish our bodies, if any, but we do need the right thought. We surround ourselves with the pure white light of love, and all is in divine order. So, I don't give God instructions, I just report for duty. So today, join me and report for duty to that divine inner self in you and say, I like me, I like me, I like me. I love you, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
But what a phone call. Nothing.